Good afternoon. It is January the 9th, 2019, and this is your friend Dan in Little Saigon for another couple of weeks. If you're not aware of this, I'm not really on social media any longer. I don't really count SoundCloud as social media. It's really just a place for me to put podcasts, so my only internet presence other than my website is SoundCloud, but no Twitter, no Facebook, no YouTube, no Steemit, no Gab AI. I have come to realize what a friend of mine told me in 2011 is essentially true, that many of these social media sites are really just digital ghettos. So yeah, I'm no longer in one of the digital ghettos, but it doesn't really mean it's changed my situation. And really, you know, unless my personal economic situation improves in the next 6 to 7 months, whatever presence I have on the internet will be gone, except for shit that gets archived. I don't really give a fuck. One of two things is probably true. Either I have nothing interesting to say, and that could be true, and therefore, deservedly so, all of my thoughts should be chucked into the trash bin of history. Or perhaps it's just the things I have to say are just not in line with the narrative. And the narrative is confusing. Today's podcast is about one of these confusing issues. Here is the part of the narrative that ought to be uncontroversial. After the latest Fed funds rate increase under Jerome Powell, supposedly, the current Fed funds rate is 2.5%. A lot of the time they'll talk in terms of basis points, which are really just, you know, essentially fractions of a percent. But here's the deal. Current Fed funds rate, which does drive many things, including the bank's abilities to exchange funds for overnight operation, bank's abilities to expand credit, governments and pension funds' abilities to float bonds. So yes, this Fed funds rate both directly and indirectly impacts other interest rates. And if you're a normal schlub, you know, yeah, I suppose a couple years ago you could have gone and gotten a car at 0% interest or something. That would have been twice as expensive as 10 years before. And that's sarcasm if you understand the math. But other than that, other than tricking people into buying shitty cars, those types of rates are not rates normal people see. Normal people see rates that are well above 3% for things like mortgages and credit cards. Everyday schlubs, in terms of the distribution of population, get screwed by interest rates. But people at the top, they like their easy money. And if you believe the Fed fund rate is 2.5%, that's what they say it is, right? Well, this is one number. And there are other numbers. I don't want to talk about GDP right now because I think GDP is a heavily manipulated number. Obama pulled his own tricks back in 2012, I think, or 2011 to add in a lot of ethereal bullshit into how we calculate GDP. So for now, I don't want to talk about economic growth because, again, I mean, in our current economic growth model, if there's a massive fucking disaster that kills lots of people and burns down lots of buildings, in our current economic growth model, that's going to create positive GDP growth. So yeah, you know, in our current economic growth model, if we were to nuke two or three cities, we would probably be at 5 or 7% GDP growth within 6 months. Not that I recommend nuking cities as economic policy, but we do live in strange times. So returning to this, yes, the Fed funds rate is 2.5%. That's one number. The other number that's important when you want to understand interest rates, and that includes all interest rates, whether it's your savings account, whether it's the Fed funds rate, it doesn't really matter. The other important number is the inflation rate, because the inflation rate represents the ability of that dollar, that chunk of currency, that fiat rectangle in your pocket, the inflation rate represents how much that will purchase vis-a-vis, you know, time, essentially. It's value over time, and it's loss of value, to be more precise. Interest rates often represent the value of capital being put to work, gaining value over time. Inflation rates generally describe the rate at which a currency loses value over time. Okay, this is how this works. So if you want to understand the real Fed fund rate, you need more than just the 2.5%. You need to know what the inflation rate is. And this is the problem. In fact, I was on Zero Hedge today and I was kind of a dick because I was getting sort of pissed off at the ridiculous conversations about Jerome Powell raising rates. It's getting so stupid. Well, currently, the Federal Reserve and the Bureau of Labor Statistics and the entire government of the United States would like to convince you that the annual inflation rate is below 2%, or at least around 2%. And even though back in July it may have popped up to 2.9% or whatever, on an annualized basis, we're either at 2% or below. So if you believe the Federal Reserve that the rate of inflation is at 2% or slightly below 2%, that would imply that the real Fed funds rate, and that would also apply to any other math you want to do with your savings account or whatever, the real Fed funds rate is way closer to essentially 0.5%, which means slightly above 500 basis points, essentially 500 basis points above what's called the zero bound, or essentially the zero line, where you're essentially at 0% interest rates. And I don't really believe the Fed or the BLS or the government on inflation. There's a website that is run by John Williams, who is a person who has a background in economics, pretty smart guy. It's called shadowstats.com. And he does the best he can to give people a view of what the unmanipulated, if I can say that, non-manipulated data points are. He will show you what inflation looks like. So if we use what's called the SGS Alternate 1990-based inflation calculator, the current rate of inflation is around 6%, okay? I think that's way closer to the truth. I personally think that even that number is probably not, probably not that accurate. But then also, Williams provides other ways of measuring inflation, and there's the consumer inflation rate, which again is another way of looking at it based on the 1980 way of calculating it, and it says 10%. So I'm going to basically say intuitively, with no actual proof, because I don't have the resources to do the analysis, and I've said this in many of my podcasts before, we live in a smoke and mirrors reality. So I'm going to intuit, just using my intuition, that the actual rate of inflation is probably around 8%, okay? 8% year on year. So the Fed funds rate is 2.5%, the inflation rate is 8%. So what's the difference? Well, the difference is 5.5%, right? But in this particular case, it's negative 5.5%, which means that if you take the difference, Fed funds rate minus inflation rate, that will give you the real Fed funds rate. The real Fed funds rate, if you don't believe the Fed numbers on inflation, and they are total bullshit, if you dismiss the numbers from the Fed on inflation, the real rate from the Fed right now is definitely in the negative region, and probably bigly negative, to kind of use some terminology from Trump. It's probably far closer to -3, -4, -5%. But even if we assume, and this is what's important, let's pretend for a second that the rate of inflation is somewhere around 2% or lower. I'm going to take the 2% because I think the Federal Reserve is kind of a dishonest organization, but I'm going to go more in their dishonest direction. Let's say it's 2%. If that's true, that means, like I said, you're making 500 basis points. You're making 0.5% on the money, essentially not even on the Fed level, because the actual rate of interest you're going to get as a consumer, I have no idea. I've been seeing advertisements from credit unions for savings accounts for the last couple of years that are right around 1.5%. I'm going to look this up real quick and see what my own credit unions current savings rate is. Hold on a second here. Let's see. Slow, blah, 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 credit union. Savings account. Hold on a second. Oh, savings account interest rate. Savings accounts at my credit union currently. Let's see. Wow, they don't even really advertise them that easily. But let's see, where is my interest rate? Okay, so none of these interest rates on the Salal site, even if you put in, let's say you put in more than $100,000 into a primary savings at my credit union, that will earn you 0.3%. What that means, for all you out there in happy land, is that essentially you're losing money. Like, if you believe that the inflation rate is around 2%, but let's pretend it's 1.5%. At 0.3% interest rate, you're still losing, you know, 700 to 800 basis points of value on an annual basis, or, you know, yeah, essentially on an annual basis. Let's assume that. And again, I'm no expert in banking, so if my numbers are a little off, I apologize. But I think these numbers are pretty straightforward. That if you bank at my bank, which is really a credit union, and let's check out Bank of America, because they're a really shitty, douchey, crony Warren Buffett bank. So let's say Bank of America interest rates on savings. Okay, so at Bank of America, you can get a savings account up to 2.25%. That means if you believe that the Fed's definition of inflation is true and that we're below 2%, at Bank of America, you won't lose money. You'll actually make around 250 basis points, which is, you know, 0.25%. Yeah, that's money. It's not very much money. I think it's better than losing money, but it's still pretty shitty. Now the whole thing about quantitative easing and debasing money by central banks, it is a scheme to get people into risky assets, which also creates bubbles. For example, the stock market. You get people into the stock market by essentially making money worthless. You get people to flip homes to completely nosebleed unrealistic values, which, you know, has side effects like massive homelessness in Seattle, but let's not talk about that. Yeah, the policies of the last decade, and arguably since I was a kid, the policies have been progressively about forcing people into risky markets, forcing people out of anything that would be remotely safe to their earned value. And someone will come back and say, well, Dan, you know, the houses are real things. You know, I bought a house and I made money. People make money off of bubbles. People made money off of Bernie Madoff. People make money off of schemes until the schemes fail. Bubbles work until they pop. I'm going to repeat that statement because a lot of people don't fucking get it. And I'm going to repeat it. A bubble is a successful economic model until it pops, until it implodes. And then, yeah, everybody wonders how the fuck it happened. But it isn't that complicated. If you make the time value of currency essentially zero bound or negative over time, which is to say holding on to fiat currency is essentially losing money, then anything that gets you better than the rate of inflation is going to look like a good investment. This is the core policy of every central bank in the world right now. And for all the fucking jawboning about quantitative tightening and reducing balance sheets, it is still the policy. It's kind of why I'm in this ranty mood. I think my math in terms of what the Fed says is a little off. I really don't believe their definition of the rate of inflation. I think that that's really off. But even if you take the Fed's math seriously, and even if you believe the rate of inflation is around 1.8%, you're still not making very much money in a savings account compared to riskier investments. And this includes things like junk bonds. This includes things like ridiculous schemes and dark pool, dark money schemes that involve derivatives. Anything that is a multiple greater than the zero bound, which means anything that gets you above zero return on money, is going to look good. Problem is, all of these investments, and I would include housing, because I don't think of housing. I got to tell you, if you live in where I live, where there's lots of homeless people, you begin to wake up to the fact that a home is way more like clean water or having food than a fucking stock. Okay, it's not like holding stock in Microsoft. Having a home, especially if you live in Seattle, is kind of a necessity if you don't want to die young and get sick. Okay, it's cold outside. Yeah, the summer is kind of okay, but the reality is you're going to live longer if you have shelter. You're going to be less likely to be bitten by rats. You're just simply going to avoid a lot of fucking bullshit if you have a place to lay your head at night. And the net effect of these central bank policies is to take something that I consider a cornerstone of Maslow's hierarchy, or at least on the bottom half of Maslow's hierarchy, meaning essentially stuff you need. You need shelter. You don't fucking need stock in Amazon. I hate to break it to you, but you don't. You don't need stock in Microsoft. You don't fucking need stock in Alphabet or Google, whatever. But you actually do need food, water, and shelter. You actually don't need healthcare. Healthcare is great. It's nice to have. I haven't seen a doctor since my fucking divorce, but whatever. You don't actually need healthcare unless you want to live a bit longer and have a slightly better quality of life on average, assuming your healthcare system isn't a giant, toxic, broke-ass piece of shit, which is really what we have, an expensive, toxic, completely gross healthcare system. But again, even if you had a functioning healthcare system, you need food and water. You need shelter. You do not need healthcare. Okay? You don't. That's something that if you can afford it, it's nice to have. So yeah, I'm getting kind of annoyed with all this shit. And then you have Donald Trump, and it's like, I am so sick of the people who try to convince us that there's some secret 50-dimensional chess going on. You're being scammed. If you're part of the deplorable crowd that voted for Trump in 2016, I fucking get it. I understand. I gave up on the political system in 2016, so I no longer play the ridiculous reindeer games of voting. But if you were a voter and your choice was between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, as ridiculous and buffoon-like as Trump is, Hillary Clinton was just, it's just a really gross, disgusting, evil, criminal human being. That's not really much of a choice. It's a horrible choice, but I get it. I get why people voted for Trump. It's why so many Democrats voted for Obama in 2008, okay? Obama was a fucking giant question mark. Nobody knew shit about Obama, okay? They knew he was black. They knew he was semi-articulate and, you know, intelligent enough, which in political terms means you got to have an IQ of at least around 100 probably, but you don't need to be that smart. But nobody knew shit about the guy. He was just anti-establishment. And frankly speaking, he was designed like a boy band, like any other product that marketers put together. He was a design candidate. So was Donald Trump. He was designed to convince people that here was this dude who gave a shit, and if you lived in the Midwest, or you lived in the flyover, you lived someplace where you felt like your life was getting shittier, which it probably was, he was going to make everything better again. But if you actually look at his policies since 2017, I don't see much there. And then in the last year, really the last 6 to 9 months, he's come out and started beating up the fucking Fed. And it's a joke. It's kabuki theater. I will say this because I think this is true. whatever the real rate of inflation is, and I sure as shit know it's not what the Fed says. The Fed says the real rate of inflation is below 2%. That is total bullshit. Everyone I know that has a family raising kids will tell you that that's total fucking bullshit. Okay? But whatever the real rate is, and it's funny, it's hard to find. If you go to Google and you type in rate of inflation, you're going to get five or six different kinds of answers, and they're all really shitty. Okay? Whatever the real rate of inflation is, that is the red flag. That's when you know that Powell, Jerome Powell, the warrior at the Federal Reserve, is going to stop raising rates. Right now, we're at 2.5%, and I think the real rate of inflation is probably two or three times that. So the question is, does he even really get to the zero bound? Does he get to the point where the Fed funds rate is actually accruing any value vis-a-vis inflation? My wager is no. In my view, the inflation rate is the red line, and probably a red line at a distance, okay? Which means that you can take the real inflation rate, and let's say it's 6 or 7%. I'm gonna fucking say it's 5%, okay? I don't like being this fucking generous with evil fucking douchebags and bankers, but let's assume that the real rate of inflation, the true rate of inflation, is 5%. I would wager that Powell might get interest rates to 3.5% or 4% in the next year or two. He might. I doubt it. The schedule says he won't. The schedule that they put out looks a lot more like 3%, maybe. Maybe 3%, maybe slightly below 3%. And I think that tells a story. I think that right now we are 6 to 9 months from the quote-unquote balance sheet reduction, monetary tightening ending. We are probably going to see that all end in 2019. All the 2020 bullshit aside, and just as a side note, Bernanke practiced the same fucking bullshit year after year. He, back in 2009, he said that they would normalize rates by 2012. They would end quantitative easing and all these extraordinary policies, these emergency policies, by 2012. That's funny. If you believe their fucking lie, which I don't, their policies more or less ended sometime in 2015. You know, essentially about a year before Obama left office. But if you look below the surface, it probably didn't end there either. You know, between the shady shit that the European Central Bank does from Belgium buying up U.S. Treasury bonds and other kinds of ridiculous bullshit, who the fuck knows, okay? So just because Jerome Powell, my point is, just because Jerome Powell says, well, shit, man, I've got these scheduled rate increases and into 2020, doesn't imply that's going to happen. There is no history of honesty or truth when it comes to Fed predictions. You can claim that they're not malicious, that they're simply making the best guesses they can, which, wow, I'm so fucking glad there's a central bank that they make such good fucking guesses. But even if you assume that, all you really know from past experience with the Federal Reserve is that whatever they say today tells you nothing about what they're going to say or do a year from now. So yeah, that's where I would go with respect to this issue of real interest rates. In my opinion, and I have no definitive proof, but I suggest you do your own fucking research. In my opinion, the real rate of interest, you know, at the Fed funds level is probably still negative. And probably, even if you look at the fucking Bank of America bullshit or Citizens Bank or any of this other shit, the real rate of return probably for almost every freaking account you can open is probably still negative. It's all still negative, and yet people are complaining. This is kind of the thing that should wake you up. We are still in a land, depending upon who you listen to, of either negative interest rates or slightly positive. But we are nowhere near a normal interest rate environment. Not even remotely close. Now, that doesn't apply to little people borrowing money. Just as I said at the beginning, if you have a credit card if you have a loan from a bank, especially if you need to go get a loan today, if you're going to go out and buy a car, okay, you will be paying the bank back at a rate of return that allows them to make money, because you will not be getting the Fed funds rate. You won't be getting 0%, okay? You're going to be paying probably 5 or 6 or 7% on money that a few years ago the banks got for nothing, and today they pay a little more than nothing. They essentially get free money from the Fed to loan you money so you can pay them money for doing absolutely fucking nothing except for, you know, toxifying the economic world. And yeah, this is my rant on interest rates and inflation, but like I said, unless you know the real inflation rate, this is Alice in Wonderland bullshit. I mean, even shadowstats.com isn't that clear on what we should pick as the real rate of inflation. I mean, I applaud John Williams for giving people these different measures, but really, they're not really telling me much of anything. Like, essentially, if I look at the experimental CPI or the official CPI, they're both slightly above 2% right now, okay? And according to the Fed, inflation is slightly below. So if I believe the Fed story, we are in slightly positive Fed funds rate territory right now. We are barely above the zero bound. If you believe the Federal Reserve, I do not. But fucking believe whatever you want to believe. And have a great day.